news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. The show is Mobile Mornings at FM Talk 106.5. Get ready for some rain. And I mean rain, and then tomorrow rain, and then Thursday rain.
What's Friday looking like?
Rain.
Ah.
And maybe Saturday, too. This is all because of the Nicholas made his way into the area south of Houston, I guess, earlier today. So get ready. Meanwhile, Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, and the Washington Examiner joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
Quinn, you've been teasing this day for a long time now, that you've got some things to say about Common Core and education standards in Alabama. So I guess let's start off this segment by kind of reminding people when Common Core was initiated and what exactly it was meant to be and what it is.
Okay. Common Core is a set of national standards, not technically a curriculum, but national standards for language skills and math that was adopted supposedly not by the federal government but by a national consortium of educators. But the federal government under Obama put lots of pressure on states to adopt the Common Core standards, and something, I forgot the number, it was like 44 of them did so.
Mm-hmm.
Five of them, I think it is, have since repealed, thank goodness. But basically, all across the nation, states implemented these untried, untested, basically theoretical standards that replaced what they were doing. And the results have been bad all across the country and disastrous in Alabama. The test scores have gone down nationally, and they have gone down even more in the state of Alabama. So that, now granted, you can't say correlation is necessarily causation. You can't say there's only one cause. But there is a very distinct correlation between when Alabama started implementing Common Core, when Alabama fully implemented Common Core, and where we are today. When we started implementing it, our test scores plateaued. When we fully implemented it, our test scores started plummeting, and we are now back to, you know, there are about four or five different measurements, you know, groups that measure educational attainment.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the bottom five in all of them. But here's what people didn't realize. By 2010, when the state school board passed the Common Core resolution, Alabama was up to 25th. We had made incredible strides in the previous decade with the Alabama Math Initiative and the Alabama Reading Initiative, and we were all the way up to 25th, which is somewhere Alabama's not used to being. In 10 years, we're back down to 49th to 50th again.
Wow.
That is an almost directly correlated time period as to when we adopted Common Core. So even if it's not the entire cause, it certainly plays a big role in it, and we are dead last.
You know, I was way out of school by the time Common Core became a thing, and I've got really young kids who aren't yet in that age range. But the main thing I remember or know from Common Core is that I guess the way that math problems were figured out was a much more roundabout way than the way so many of us are used to multiplying and things of that nature. Is Common Core, is it like from a day one of going into a school year until the end of that school year, you're going by a certain curriculum, or is it all about the Common Core testing, or how exactly is this tied into schooling?
Standards, but the standards are written in such a way that, in effect, a curriculum follows. And the standards say that students have to be able to do math problems in a certain manner to prove that they, quote, understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that manner is something that actually does work for a minority of students who are not good at the regular methods.
Right.
So, you know, it is good to have alternative ways to teaching of teaching math for those for whom the regular doesn't work. The problem is they take that alternative and they make it the norm. And guess what? The alternative is much harder
mm-hmm.
for most students to do. So they learn less. And the example is, and I can't find it online anymore, but for years there was this thing online where a little girl, about a 7 or 8 year old, was trying to explain how to do a simple, like, three-digit addition problem, trying to explain to her parents how to do it. And what they do is, rather than just add numbers in columns, you put a dot for everything in the one column, you put a line for everything in the 10 column, you put a square for everything in the hundreds column, and then you add up all the dots and all the lines and all the squares, and it took her something like 10 or 11 minutes to go through this problem. It was like add 786 plus 227 or something like that, whereas the same girl then got exasperated and said to her parents, look, do it this way. And then she did it the old way in 10 seconds.
Right.
And so you're saying, why are you confusing our kids by teaching them this? And I investigated this and researched this so much, I actually went to a training in Louisiana where they teach teachers how to teach Common Core math. And I sat through the training, and it was gobbledygook. And I could go on. I've got stats and stuff right. like that. But let me just finish by saying where things stand right now in Alabama, and that's why I'm talking about this now. And that is, we have a chance at the state school board to definitively get rid of Common Core math, and the governor will tell you, "Oh, we already did that 2 years ago," and that's not true. They went through this system, and they said, "Now we're adopting Alabama-only standards." And then what they came up with, if you put it side by side by Common Core, it's like if an eighth grader first gets taught that in doing a term paper, you're not allowed to plagiarize. And so they think, okay, well, then I'll just take the same paragraph and put a period where there's an and, mm-hmm. and then start a new sentence and then change one word, and therefore I can call it my own, which, of course, is getting the gist of it without getting the real meaning of it. Well, that's what they did here. All they did is they went all the way through, they added a few periods, they changed a few words, and everything else is word for word the same. The governor says she got rid of Common Core math, and she didn't. And it is absolutely abundantly clear. All you have to do is read them side by side, and you'll have three whole paragraphs, and they're only three words different. Mm-hmm. That's not a change. That's a lie.
Quinn, I solve my math problems by looking at the paper of the kid next to me. Okay, so maybe I don't have a real argument here. Plus, my kid's long gone from school. What subjects does Common Core apply to? Is it math only?
No, it's language skills and math. Now, there was talk early on about expanding it to social studies, which, of course, would mean that you would end up getting, you know, critical race theory and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was such a blowback that for the time being they kept it only English and math. And English and math, as I have detailed in column after column through the years, it's terrible. I've done this on your show before, but let me just read you one paragraph from the Common Core standards to see what sort of gobbledygook it is and to see why teachers don't even understand what they're supposed to be doing. And then we'll get back to the policy and what can be changed and why the governor needs to hear from your readers. Okay?
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay. This is from like fourth or fifth grade. I forgot exactly where I got it. Fourth or fifth grade math standards. Reason abstractly and quantitatively. Mathematically proficient students make sense of quantities and their relationships in problem situations. They bring two complementary abilities to bear on problems involving quantitative relationships. Get this. One is the ability to decontextualize, to abstract a given situation, represent it symbolically, and manipulate the representing symbols as if they have a life of their own without necessarily attending to their reference. The second is the ability to contextualize, to pause as needed during the manipulation process in order to probe into the reference for the symbols involved. Now, if anybody but a math PhD who is used to talking in such gobbledygook, if anybody else can tell me what that means, I'll buy you an ice cream at Cammie's Old Dutch.
I'll hand you an umbrella.
Yeah, sounds like I just failed fourth grade.
This is nonsense, and this is what they're... If a teacher wants to say, okay, I want to understand better what Common Core is asking me to teach, let me go to the actual Common Core guidebook, the language, the official language, and she reads this or he reads this, they're not going to have a clue. And guess what? The new Alabama standards that the governor brags about having done in 2019 to replace Common Core,
mm-hmm.
they have this exact same paragraph.
Except
they change. They literally put a period where there was an and then started a new sentence. So they broke two sentences into one, and they claim that that's not Common Core.
When the Common Core mandates public school only?
Well, yeah, public school only. But the problem is that that all across the state, private schools, parochial schools adopted it too because they didn't want to be left out. They didn't want to lose opportunities, especially since at the beginning, the Obama administration illegally, it turned out, we said it was illegal all the time, but it was definitely found to be illegal, was trying to tie funding to the Common Core standards and to curriculum attached to it. And so all of a sudden, if you've got any student that is getting some sort of federal student aid or you know, free lunch program or something like that, you're going to lose that if you don't adopt Common Core. That was the thought. So a lot of the parochial schools adopted it too. And Governor Ivey, bless her heart, said she was against Common Core, and so she was going to change it. And they went through this whole process, and she claims they changed it, and they didn't. And I'm not even sure she realizes it, but her office needs to be flooded with phone calls saying what we did in 2019 did not change Common Core. We need to actually change Common Core. Go back to the standards Alabama had in 2009 when we were 25th in the nation, moving up from 49th to 25th in one decade. That's what we need to go back to, and we're not going to vote for you unless you do.
Yeah, it sounds like we need to send a math problem up to Ivy's office and see if she can solve it the Common Core way.
I would challenge her to add 786 to 227 using Common Core math. I guarantee you Governor Ivey couldn't do it, and neither could anybody in her staff. Well, maybe with one exception.
Quinn, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about Ivey's role in this. Also, Governor Bentley was in charge when Common Core came to the state, and other options. If you disband the Common Core standards, where you might head as a state.
Quinn Hillier back from QuinnHillier.com and the Washington Examiner. That is all on the way at 19 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, 824. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com and also the Washington Examiner. Also, quite the novelist, Quinn. If somebody would like to get a hold of your Mad Jones trilogy, they can, right?
At Amazon.com. Just Quinn Hillier, Mad Jones Heretic, Amazon.com. You can order it. And by the way, the trilogy is probably going to come out as one book, which was originally intended to be in February or March, maybe March.
Reading your books, The Common Core Way, I think I'll start with book three and work my way back.
Start with book three and then decontextualize and abstract the given situation and represent it symbolically, please. And then my book will turn into a math problem.
Oh, it's genius. So you've laid out, you know, why Common Core is bad, why statistically how we've fallen from 25th nationally in education to the very bottom of the list. What's the alternative? I know a number of private schools don't use Common Core standards, but would we all the public schools in the state have to be under one certain curriculum, or would this be more of a localized kind of thing?
Well, no. The state adopts standards. The state school board adopts standards. And in the intermediate step for the next decade is to go back to the standards Alabama had in 2009, which were working. We had gone from near last to 25th in just a decade with some of the attention that Bob Riley had given to education before Riley, bless his heart, screwed up and got us involved in Common Core at the end. But those standards worked well. There are other standards. Minnesota has great standards. I've actually read Minnesota's side-by-side comparison to Common Core or to the Alabama standards, and it's like a very simple, declarative, understandable sentence in Minnesota, and then this multi-point list of jargon from Alabama that is approximately the same thing, but only math theorists can understand it. So anyway, look, this is bad. I could cite the statistics. I could tell you how it works or doesn't work. I could tell you why it works or doesn't work. But this is the bottom line. The bottom line is, if the state school board would, for right now, just say we are reverting to the 2009 standards, that would, for the next 10 years, while we develop maybe something better, for the next 10 years, that would go a long way to solving the problem. Mm-hmm. And the state school board needs 5 votes to do it. And right now, by most counts, they have 4. And Ivy would be the 5th if Ivy would only force them to bring it up. And she is the chairman of the state school board, but for whatever reason, will not bring it up, mainly, I guess, because she thinks they already got rid of Common Core, mm-hmm. which, as I said, is a mistake bordering on a lie, because it's just not true. All she needs to do is say, as chairman, I am putting this on the agenda, and I am going to whip the votes to get at least 4 others and maybe twist arms and get another 1 or 2 so it becomes a supermajority on the state school board to revert to the 2009 standards. The governor needs to hear this. You need to call her office. It is that simple. It just takes a vote of the state school board, and there is a resolution that has already been presented to the state school board that says, whereas the state of Alabama continues in mathematics to fall into last and near last place across the nation for the past 8 years, blah, 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 therefore be it resolved that the current course of study be rescinded and the 2009 mathematics course of study is adopted. It's that simple. Go back to 2009 and start undoing the terrible damage that has been done by Common Core.
Good stuff, Quinn. Remind folks where they can find you online, on Twitter, and also where you're writing things.
Well, on Twitter, it's just at Quinn Hillier. And if you want to read what I write, either subscribe for free at QuinnHillier.com or on a daily level, if you want to look it up, just Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner, and you'll see just about everything I write.
Hey, you're going to see some good reviews from last night's Manning Brothers on ESPN2 during the Monday Night Football game. So check out some highlights of that, Quinn. You'll enjoy that a lot.
Gotta love the Mannings. And meanwhile, please call the governor's office and tell her to get with this.
Got it.
Yeah. See, while Peyton was doing trigonometry, Eli was learning Common Core math. That explains the difference in the
there's
two.
There's the setback right there. Right? FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Open up the phone lines for you. Text line is working well, too. 343-0106. Got something on your mind? Give us a call.
Thanks, Kane. 835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings rolls on. You know, one of the many great things about living where we do is how close we are to the Gulf and so many beautiful landscapes in our area. And that we end up having things like the Tunnel to Towers 5K race through the tunnel.
Yeah, it was good.
Bankhead Tunnel
awesome.
Over this last weekend. And then another fun event coming up mid-October, the 6th annual Try the Gulf Triathlon on Dauphin Island. It'll be held at the Isle of Dauphine Golf Club on October 16th. And the presenting sponsor of this year's Try the Gulf Triathlon, none other than Tobias McCormick and Comer, local law firm, who you've heard from on this station. All three, Desi Tobias, Jason McCormick, and Brian Comer, love their Gulf Coast community. And TMC is involved in many charitable and civic events in our area. Now, if you're interested in taking part in Try the Gulf this year, it's a 600-yard Gulf swim there off of Dauphin Island, a 16 15.7-mile bike ride on the island and the bridge, and then a 3.1-mile run on the island. If that interests you, or heck, maybe you just want to go out and watch people try the golf, you can go to trythegolf.org. That's T-R-I, like triathlon, trythegolf.org, or the same on Facebook, facebook.com/trythegolf. You can find more information about the triathlon there, like registration information, course maps, and even how to train to participate in a triathlon. And what's great about this event, all proceeds will be utilized by the Foundation for Civic and Charitable Organizations in Mobile, Southwest Alabama's area. Tobias McCormick and Comer, excited to be the presenting sponsor of the Try the Gulf Triathlon. One more time, that's on Dolphin Island on October 16th next month.
No, another thing about living along the Gulf Coast is we know a lot about preparing for and then recovering from hurricanes.
Yes.
So we got Nicholas made landfall this morning, or probably overnight, I guess, along the Texas coast as a Category 1 hurricane, threatening to pummel the state with fierce winds and heavy rain and possible flooding. I think in Texas and Louisiana, it's almost a guarantee we're going to be dealing with this for the next several days, according to Dr. Bill Williams, probably into the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So residents along the coast from Port Arnesis to Port O'Connor face a life-threatening storm surge up to 5 feet as Nicholas bears down, according to the National Hurricane Center. You talked to a friend in Houston.
Yeah. Said they lost their patio cover.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous.
The storm came ashore near the eastern part of the Matagorda Peninsula, about 10 miles west-southwest of Sargent Beach, Texas, about 1:30 overnight. Hours after landfall, it was downgraded to a tropical storm with winds at 70 miles an hour. The storm is expected to inundate the region with 6 to 12 inches of rain and isolated totals of 18 inches as it sweeps northeast across the Gulf Coast. I think, according to Dr. Bill, it's not going to be in a big hurry. It's going to kind of move, meander along. And John Bel Edwards, the governor of the state of Louisiana, says they need a lot of things over in Louisiana right now. This was not one of them.
One of the things that could exacerbate the threat of flooding are all the ditches and catch basins and storm drains and so forth, all these drainage systems that have debris from previous storms that hasn't yet been cleaned up.
Yeah, we got to be thinking about Louisiana because it's a 1-2 punch for them.
Yeah.
So any of the churches and organizations that have been helping those in Louisiana over the last couple of weeks, heads up, they're going to, you still got a bunch without power, and now this is on top of that.
So as of last night, more than 117,000 people in Louisiana were still without power, and then you have all this rain moving into the area. I saw a great story from our news partners at WKRG. Remember last week, the mayor of Daphne, Robin Lejeune, said they would send about 350 gallons of fuel over to Baton Rouge. Daphne Search and Rescue was going to send that over there or take it over there. And since then, a third haul of gas has made its way from Daphne over mm-hmm. to Louisiana to assist with some of these relief efforts. And then Walt from Summerdale, who we've talked about and talked with multiple times over these last couple weeks, he's been taking a trailer over to Houma, Louisiana, the last couple of weekends, and he's recently returned from this most recent weekend trip, and he texted us this morning. He said, "I really enjoyed the new app. I was able to listen to everything on Saturday, including the game, on my trip to Houma this past weekend." And I asked him if donations were still coming in to help the people of Houma, and he said, "A little. We're taking this weekend off. We'll be going again next weekend." So thank you to Walt and Summerdale and so many others in our area helping out our neighbors to the west the same way so many of our neighbors have helped us during tough times.
So one of the neighbors to the west blew my mind over the weekend. The New Orleans Saints
mm-hmm.
had to play their game in,
Jacksonville.
Your favorite city.
Yeah, I know it well.
And anyway, played the NFC, they weren't the champions, but they were the runners-up. They played in the NFC Championship game, lost to Tampa.
Yeah, Green Bay.
Green Bay, really good team. You're upended, you're uprooted, everything's working against you, and the Saints just annihilated them. Made no sense.
Well, we've seen it with Tulane, too, right? They almost beat Oklahoma, last week, and they've got another good chance to, I forget, are they playing Ole Miss this weekend or something like that?
We saw with LSU. No, we didn't.
I think it's because year after year, they have these storms, mm-hmm. and they've got to practice away from, this isn't new, maybe to some of the some of the guys on the team, it's new. Mm-hmm. But for the coaches and the training staff, they're used to this kind of thing, this being uprooted, just like so many people in our area.
Yeah, it comes along with the Gulf Coast. We get hurricanes, we prepare for hurricanes, and sometimes we have to recover from hurricanes.
Yeah, and, you know, still only halfway through the hurricane season.
Yeah.
And last year, we got hit hard in the second half of the season.
Third and fourth quarter.
Exactly. We have somebody, let's see, on the line right here. I'm not seeing any names on mine.
I believe it's Lou.
Okay.
Dr. Lou.
Hey, Dr. Lou. Turn your radio down, Dr. Lou. Yeah, we're getting a lot of feedback there.
I caught the last part of Quinn's discussion about Common Core, and I totally agree. This has been a 10-year fight that we've been involved with Quinn and others, and it's time for the governor to get off the dime and get rid of Common Core. There's no question about it.
Dr. Lou, having a little bit of trouble hearing you. I don't know if you're on speakerphone or talking through the Bluetooth in your vehicle or what it may be, but one question for you before we let you go. Any idea if maybe this Common Core will become an issue in the upcoming election?
We're going to make it an election issue if she doesn't do something about it now.
Okay. We're having too much trouble hearing you there, Dr. Lou, if you could call back
time. They would make it an issue if she doesn't do something about it. But
yeah.
There you go. So who is a legitimate candidate, a contender for the governor aside from Kay Ivey?
You know, I don't know if Ziegler has he made the announcement
No.
yet? If he has, it would have been on our station.
Right.
And I know he's been teasing it for a while. I know Ziegler would probably, that'd be one of the things he would make a big deal of. And, Common Core was a major topic of discussion when it came out about 6-7 years ago, and it seemed like all that so many were talking about. I'm not sure if it moves the needle at all.
I don't think it quite does. No matter how people like Dr. Lou, people of served, you know, certain political persuasions, and are they get fired up over issues that a lot of people just kind of let slide by.
Yeah.
We were talking about this. Being in this business, doing what we do, we've got little choice but to follow the news as closely as we can, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And for a lot of people, that's not the lifestyle they have. They're not so inundated with news, whereas we've got no choice.
Yeah, listen, I'm not looking forward to, or maybe, okay, let me rephrase that. I am actually looking forward a little bit to helping my daughters with their homework eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to not go overboard and do it for them. Because I've been known to do that in the past. But I'm wondering, how different is it really? And I don't think they'll be getting a Common Core education by the time they're in that kind of stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard from parents over the last few years. They say it's just kind of ridiculous the way that these things work out. I think a bigger topic that moves the needle, which would be kind of related, and Quinn mentioned it there for a second, is critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that became the discussion point earlier this year, that was that moved the needle in a major way.
That was a hot coal right there.
It was, and it's not too far reach to say, you know, if the federal government is willing to reach into the schools and tell them they got to do math problems a certain way or English a certain way, mm-hmm. you know, literature, whatever it may be, that making sure that a certain history of America is taught or you know, otherwise changing the social studies, like Quinn mentioned, I don't think it's that far of a reach. But if you start talking to voters about math problems and third graders having to spend 10 more minutes on a math equation than we had to back in the day, I just don't see that actually changing any votes. You start talking to voters about critical race theory and keeping that out of schools, I think for Alabama specifically, that a number of people would show up and vote on or against that.
So, I as much as Common Core fires up a number of people, I don't know that it fires up enough
right.
to make it an actual some sort of a wedge between the governor and being reelected.
Right. Yeah. I don't think so either. Hey, when we come back, there's this story that I've kind of been hiding away here for a little bit that I want to get into, and I kind of saved it here for the end of the show. And it's about kids, and it's about backpacks, but also about personal safety and privacy. And I want to get your take and also listeners' take on this when we get back. 343-0106.
That's a lot there. personal
kids'
safety,
backpacks,
privacy.
Yeah.
All right. 846 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Erwig, and your opinions and phone calls. 343-0106. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. On the way, it's the Jeff Poor Show.
Woo-hoo.
Starring Media Research Center's Dan Gaynor. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker. Alabama political reporters Bill Britt. And Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon. Let's see what
sounds
Jeff's
like,
got coming up.
Like you're the SNL announcer there.
Yeah.
And
jazzing it up a little bit here. Jeff
yeah,
sure is worth
good.
It. Yeah. Of course, each weekday, 9 to 5, and of course, or 9 to noon. No, we don't keep them on till 5. At 9 to noon, and of course, you can check out the podcast anytime you want at fmtalk1065.com or on the much ballyhooed FM Talk 106.5 app. More and more, you're getting it. I had a couple of people down at the tunnel to tower race, show me that they had downloaded the app.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see. Good to know that they knew enough to show it to me so right. I could realize, hey, you did it. Good. So anyway, it'll take you about 20 seconds, and it's well worth it.
Yeah, live traffic map, weather, anytime you need it. Also, live stream of the station and podcasts are easier than anywhere else to grab right there on the FM Talk 106.5 app. So I saw this story yesterday. I think it was Fox News, okay? And with kids being in school this time of year, they were talking about safety with your children being in school. And one of the things they point to here that say could make children an easy target is some of these monogrammed or personalized backpacks that they wear. Now, when I was in school, it was the initials with the last name initial being the largest and in the middle. I don't know exactly what that's called. But I guess a lot of these kids have, you know, their names on their backpacks. And retired Miami Beach Detective Sergeant Joe Matthews said, hey, think twice before you do something like that. Because if let's just say your kid's name is, I don't know, Matt. Mm-hmm. And they're walking around with a backpack that says Matt on it. And maybe they're getting off at the bus stop or they're outside school grounds or whatever. And somebody goes, hey, Matt. And, you know, Matt turns around. He's like, oh, this person must know my name. And they're like, hey, I just heard from your parents, and they need me to pick you up from school or whatever. I'm a family friend. That just having that bit of personalized information on your person could make it more dangerous for your kids in school. And that's just something I've never really thought of.
Well, I've heard that way back when, Dalton, they talked about that in Little League. And so what was the idea was, I think it was to make sure you put, if you're going to put a name on the back,
make it a fake name.
No, I think it was the last name was, I forget what the idea was or the theory. You could put the last name, don't put the first and last name together, something like that. Anyway, I forget, now I'm confused, that's what the whole point was. But it's got to do with the same thing. The other thing about the backpacks, you lie down somewhere. You lay it down, and you can get it mixed up with everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got 500 kids in a school, you've got 500 backpacks, too.
Right. Yeah.
A little bit like luggage at the airport, so you probably want to put something on there to
signify.
Maybe a monogram. Signify, right. It doesn't have to be a name. You can just put something special on it.
Well, the one I've always thought of that I'm like, why do people do that? On vehicles, maybe you go to the grocery store and look in the parking lot, and I know there's that one move that so many people do where they put – stick figures, or sometimes it's Disney characters, and you've got a mama character, a daddy character, and then however many children they have or littler, and they put them on the back.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, bragging about how fertile they are with how many children they have. What's the point there, right? I've always been like, why give out personal information to the public that doesn't necessarily need to be out there? If you're putting things on the back of your car that has like your name on it and things you're interested in,
mm-hmm.
What's the possible benefit from that, right? I could think of some risks, you know, say a young woman or man or go to a restaurant or a grocery store and they've got their name all over their car. Same thing you got with the kids there. All it takes is somebody taking advantage of you going, hey, Dalton. It's like, whoa, does this person know me?
So
next thing you know, they're driving off in your car.
So who's got their name on the back of their car?
You're
talking about the license check.
Well, you
got
vanity plates. And I mean, people put all kinds of things all over the back of their car. And it's just, it's like a walking billboard. I've never understood the benefit of that.
Understood why, three bumper stickers or whatever you put, they're not always on the bumper, but you know what I'm talking about. There's my limit.
Yeah, if you've got your coexist bumper sticker on yours.
If you've got more than three on your, and you think I need to know this much about what rattles around in your head, like you're interested in this, and save the trees, and my kid's got is an honor student at Ridgeway Elementary.
Yeah.
On, if you've got more than three of any of those on, we're not going to be. We're not down. Yeah. I don't. I really don't. That's somebody that I would rather not spend a lot of time with. Yeah. I just kind of cross them off the list.
Yeah. Well, I saw one driving around Mobile the other day, a very vulgar sticker.
Really?
And it had to do with my mom, apparently. That's what it said on the sticker. I'm like, why is this? I mean, you're starting a fight with people you don't even know.
Yeah.
You got a your mom sticker on the back of your on the back of your truck.
I haven't seen that one.
It's pretty good. But I don't know. Just something to think about this morning is you think about kind of what information you're putting out there to the public that might not necessarily need to be known.
There's going to be some bumper stickers now that are going to say, I probably have your umbrella. And it'll be directed to, right at me, because later on today, y'all, as I leave this building, I'll be leaving with this kind of a cheap black umbrella. I'm going to leave it somewhere, so just give me a call when you find it.
Yeah, well, no one wants it now. You called it a cheap umbrella. Who would want that? Supermom texted in, I've always drilled into my kids' heads that I will never send someone they don't know to get them for that very reason. That's good. It does work against my favor. I needed my parents to pick up one of my children just a couple weeks ago, and I failed to put them on the daycare pickup list.
Yes.
So it was a good test. They didn't let them walk out with the kids, but unfortunately I had to make a detour and take some time out to go pick them up then. But it is important to see a lot of schools do that. BA says all these dumb squatted trucks with their Instagram handles on them. Yes, that's one that's been very popular, is the Instagram handle on so many vehicles. Hollis says it's on multiple vehicles, including my bread truck. I'm not sure which bumper sticker he's referring to there. Hopefully not the Your Mom bumper sticker. I'm still cool with the Calvin and Hobbes one, though, where Calvin is, you know, going to the restroom on whatever object you might not like.
Yeah.
Whether it's, an Auburn symbol if you're an Alabama fan, or vice versa if you're an Auburn fan. And
That's not necessary to put that on the back. That's over the line. Why would you put the, and then you have to explain it to children. Mm-hmm. And then
what's Calvin doing?
If you tell your child that a fart joke's not funny, but Calvin taking a leak on something, a team he doesn't like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
You're going to confuse your child.
Good stuff there. I used to have a Tennessee Vols sticker on the back of my truck, and someone quite literally did that. Not the Calvin way, but. One more picture here from Trace on the text line. It's a great Star Wars bumper sticker. It says, the Empire doesn't care about your stick figure family. So there you go.
That's good. Or your honor student at Ridgeway Elementary. FM Talk 106.5, Jeff Poe's show. We've already given you the lineup, so you know who's going to be on. So get ready for Jeff Poe in just a few minutes on FM Talk 106.5.